Blog Talk Radio.
3, 2, 1. For the second straight episode, our first guest is the 2022 Primetime Emmy Award nominee. Mike Prickett is up for cinematography on HBO's nonfiction surfing epic, 100 Foot Wave. How he filmed this series is an inspiring tale all its own, and Prickett will detail it when he joins me next. One of the most iconic game shows returns to primetime tomorrow night on NBC. Yes, it's Password. And after the bottom of the hour, we'll learn about its primetime comeback from executive producer John Quinn and Fremantle Senior Vice President Joni Day. Also ahead, Ryan Reynolds gets his own Fubo TV channel, TCA's Class of 2022 winners, our new classic trivia question, and a comment on ESPN's out of left field, literally, action last night. You might find it surprising. I find it very disturbing. Hello, everyone. I'm Simon Applebaum, simulcasting live from New York on Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker and TuneIn Radio. I present on Spotify, the iHeartRadio Podcast Network, Google Podcasts, Amazon Music, Apple Podcasts, Acast, and other podcast destinations. This just in, tomorrow will be televised. Thank you all for joining us on this Monday afternoon and kicking off your week with the program about TV's current and future. Yes, we are in the middle of a hot spell here in the Big Apple, 89 degrees at the top of the hour. I want to say off the bat that if you're dealing with extreme heat where you are, please take it easy. If you're going out before the end of the day, make sure you take your time, take extra time if you need to. Hydrate yourself, drink up fluids, check in on the loved ones, what they need to do. And yes, we will all get through this together. I know that here in New York, we have one more heat day coming, and then the temperatures go down, down, down to the lower 80s with the upper 60s at night by the end of the week. Have some wonderful guests for you over the next hour and change, and we invite you to be part of the program. It's so simple. Pick up the phone and call in. And here is the number you use, 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. The number is good anywhere you're catching across the country or around the globe. Here on Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, TuneIn Radio. And we've got our chat room going. Our good friend from Philadelphia, Rick Webb, is already in the room. And you can join him just by going to SimonApple04. That's the name of the room. And you'll find it at our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. And while the program is on the air, you can connect others by using Facebook Timeline. Get on the Facebook icon, your Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, TuneIn screen. Follow those instructions and other people live with you. We expect to have Mike Prickett from 100 Foot Wave, 2022 Primetime Emmy Award nominee, joining us at any moment. Hopefully he'll do so right after these news notes. After Ryan Reynolds is getting into the TV network universe via collaboration with multi-channel bundle Fubo TV, Reynolds will set up Maximum Effort Network, named after his production company at Fubo, plus get an equity stake in Fubo and a first book development in unscripted and blind scripted series of agreements. Fubo executives describe Maximum Effort as an entertainment channel that will open the creative floodgates. The announcement earlier today did not offer a launch date or content specifics. By the way, we are trying to communicate with the PR people at both Fubo and Ryan Reynolds' company to try to see if we can have the people involved with both enterprises on this show for a segment on this new service down the road. Abbott Elementary came up big over the weekend with the Television Critics Association's 2022 awards. The ABC comedy series won 4 honors, including Outstanding New Program and Comedy Series. In other series categories, The Amazing Race and Legendary tied for reality, Succession won the Drama Award, and Dopestick picked up the miniseries combo made-for-TV movie honor. Now quickies, Starz picked up a carriage deal with Vizio Smart Television sets, while Discovery Plus landed space on Dish TV and Sling TV. Zoe Saldana, starring miniseries From Scratch, will premiere on Netflix October 21st. Season 3 of The L Word, Generation Q, will debut November 20th on Showtime. Guest stars this season include Joanna Cassidy, Barbara Cho, and Grammy nominee Kahani. MTV's annual Michael Jackson Video Vanguard Award will go later this month to Nicki Minaj. She'll receive the Moon Man and perform on the 2022 MTV Video Music Award, live from the Prudential Center in Newark, New Jersey, August 28th, just right on the other side of the Hudson River. Resident Alien returns for the rest of Season 2 on Sci-Fi Wednesday night. Peacock will simulcast. Breaking news in the last hour, Karen Slaughter's Will Trent novels will become an ABC series in early 2023. And fans of Madame Tussauds Wax Museum asking for a TV series about the creator of this world-renowned attraction in New York and elsewhere for years, ask no more. Why? Production is set to begin soon on a scripted bio miniseries entitled Madame. And that is news notes for today. We are awaiting Mike Prickett, the 2022 Emmy nominee for Primetime, for his work in cinematography on the HBO nonfiction series 100 Foot Wave, the series that ran in the summer of 2021 on that network, second season expected probably in 2023. So, Mike, as soon as I see you ready to go on the air, Make sure you're calling us at 646-652-2906. As soon as I see you're ready to go, we will get you aboard. In the meantime, let's get to our classic trivia question segment. As it turned out, no winner over this past weekend. So, unfortunately, we have no winner to tell you about today to our current classic trivia questions. Let's get to the answer to that question we posed over the last 2 weeks. And the question was, complete the title of this Cartoon Network hit series, Hi Hi, blank blank. Again, the title is Hi Hi, blank blank. The answer, Hi Hi, Puffy Ami Yumi. It ran for 2 seasons, of course, famed on a popular the K-pop group out of Asia. And they also performed here at Irving Plaza in New York and other places. Had a chance to interview them when the show was on. It was a show that Sam Register got his start as a major player in animation. He was the creator and executive producer of the series. Now he's part of the Cartoon Network Warner Brothers family, heading many aspects of their animation unit. And you can see, by the way, some of the episodes on YouTube at YouTube.com, available on smart TV sets and smart TV devices. So once again, the answer to the question, it was Hi Hi Puffy Ami Yumi. That was the title of the Cartoon Network hit series. So nobody got it over the last 2 weeks. So we have a brand new question for you right now. And if you are first with the correct answer, you can win 3 prizes. 2 of them are best-selling books, The Unexpected Danny Green and the nonfiction work about what it's like to be in PR called Flirting with Fame. Both are by recent TWBT guests, Phil Freeman, the aspect of The Unexpected Danny Green, and Dan Harari, the longtime PR guru in Hollywood for Flirting with Fame. Plus, we have the Nickelodeon Loud House Christmas card set. And they all can be yours if you know the answer to this following question and you're first to email the correct answer. Chevy Chase was the first Weekend Update anchor on Saturday Night Live. Who was the second? Again, Chevy Chase was the first Weekend Update news anchor on Saturday Night Live. Who was second? If you know the answer, email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. That's simonapple04@yahoo.com. Please enclose your name and where you're emailing from. And if you're first with the correct answer, you will win. Again, it's simonapple04@yahoo.com. If we don't get a winner by the end of today, we will post the question tomorrow morning on Facebook and Twitter. Facebook at Simon Applebaum and Twitter at UBC Simon TWBT. That's Simon Applebaum on Facebook and Twitter at UBC Simon TWBT. Once again, here's that classic trivia question. Chevy Chase was the first Weekend Update anchor on Saturday Night Live. Who was second? Who succeeded Chevy Chase? Again, we'll take that answer at SimonApple04@yahoo.com. 3 prizes in play. Again, if we don't get a winner by the end of today, we'll post the question tomorrow morning on Facebook and Twitter. Facebook at Simon Applebaum, Twitter at UBC Simon TWBT. Again, in order to win, you got to play in. So do so, and all the very best. We are still awaiting Mike Prickett, the 2022 Primetime Emmy Award winner nominee for cinematography for the HBO unscripted series 100 Foot Wave. It ran initially in the summer of last year. Second season expected in sometime in 2023. Mike, if you can hear us, give us a call, 646-652-2906. And as soon as we see you ready to go on the air, we will get you on. In the meantime, let's offer a comment. We're going to do this later in the program, but let's do it now while we wait for Mike. Did any of you see Sunday Night Baseball on ESPN last night? Well, if you did, I believe we now have Mike Prickett on the air with us live. Mike, are you there? Mike, go ahead. Hang on for 1 second, everybody. Let's see if we can get Mike on the line. I believe he just joined us. Let's try again. Mike, are you there? Go ahead. All right, let's see if third time is a charmer. Let's try. Bear with us, everybody. All right, here we go. Mike, can you hear us? Mike Prickett, are you there? All right, I thought Mike had come on the line. Let's see if he's on. Mike, are you there? All right, Mike, call back. If you can hear us, call us back, 646-652-2906. As soon as I see on my computer screen that you're ready to go on, we will get you on. Let's get back to that commentary. So, any of you see Sunday Night Baseball on ESPN last night? I didn't. And I was watching Keyshaw and J. Will and Max, which is the simulcast of the morning show on ESPN Radio with Keyshawn Johnson, Max Kellerman, and Jay Williams. That's on ESPN2 for the first 2 hours. And Keyshawn Johnson, the first hour, was very angry about something that happened on that broadcast. Now, for those who didn't see it, it was the Los Angeles Dodgers versus the Boston Red Sox. And it was the Los Angeles Dodgers versus the San Diego Padres. That's right. Let's get that right. I don't watch baseball a lot, but when I do, I have lately because of the death of Vin Scully and listening to, by the way, it's a wonderful documentary. Side note, wonderful documentary that I saw today on YouTube called Remembering Vin Scully. Check it out. It was marvelously done. And it really captured that magnificent career that Vin Scully had. Anyway, the ESPN game last night on Sunday Night Baseball was the Los Angeles Dodgers and San Diego Padres with Juan Soto, the baseball superstar who just joined the Padres, playing in outfield. And what happened was that ESPN mic'd Soto so that you could hear him throughout the broadcast. And then ESPN did something that nobody probably expected, and it probably is a first for television, a first. They actually had, at one point, the broadcast team led by Carl Ravitch, play-by-play, and the commentators actually talk to Juan Soto in the game, in the middle of the game, when he was in the outfield playing defense. Now, think about that for a second. We're not talking about an interview with a player before the game or after the game, win or lose. We're talking about a baseball superstar who's supposed to have his eye on the game and the action, what's going on in front of him in the outfield, and he is talking live as the game is being played to ESPN's announcing team. When I learned about this from Keyshawn Johnson, the first thing I thought of, I was absolutely stunned. I mean stunned. I have never heard of any broadcast, national, local, regional, doing anything like this. The second reaction I had was, are you kidding me? Are you crazy? Are you nuts? You are actually talking to a player in the middle of a game, in the middle of an inning, when his focus is supposed to be on the game and what is happening at that home plate, and goodness knows what would have happened if in the middle of that conversation, whenever it happened last night, that a ball went to him in the outfield. Where's the focus? And the third thing that hit me was, who at ESPN approved this? And another question associated with that, who in Major League Baseball approved what ESPN did? Obviously, ESPN would not have done this, would not have had that conversation with Juan Soto in the middle of the outfield while the game is going on in the field of play if, A, someone at ESPN high up had not approved the idea from a producer, whoever that producer is, and, B, if someone in Major League Baseball had not come to the conclusion, okay, this is a great idea, let's go with it. Even if it's a one-shot. I'm curious, by the way, what you people out there think about this decision. I mean, do you really want to have ESPN announcers or announcers from YES Network with the Yankees or SNY with the Mets or real regional sports networks or local stations, whatever baseball team or football team or hockey team, whatever? Do you really want to have the announcing team get directly involved in a conversation with a player in the middle of a game while the action is going on? And think about that. You are literally impacting the game with this. You are literally putting the player in a situation where, goodness knows, if a ball comes that way, or they're about to go out for a pass, or in football, or they're about to get the puck in hockey, or the ball in soccer. You are literally taking the focus of the player while the game is on away from the game, and you literally then put yourself in a position where you are impacting the outcome of the game. Frankly, I find this surprising, but more importantly, I find this disgusting. And I find it reprehensible. And I would have a hunch that a lot of baseball fans out there, whether you're fans of the Padres, the Dodgers, whatever, some people like Keyshawn Johnson have to be livid about this. Absolutely disgraceful. And again, you have to wonder who approved this. At both ESPN and then at Major League Baseball. And what kind of conversations were held about the suitability of this action? My personal initial feeling is this. A, whoever came up with the idea at ESPN. B, whoever approved it at ESPN. C, whoever approved it at Major League Baseball. All should be held to account. They should be reprimanded immediately on the spot. And they should get a suspension, 1 or 2 weeks. No excuses. And I really hope, by the way, that this was a one-shot experiment. I really hope that nobody in the world of television sports tries this out anywhere else. Again, it's one thing to have a player interview at the beginning or end of a game or during a pre- or post-game program. It is another to do the interview in the middle of play. By the way, I know the USFL, for example, the telecast of that season, they did experiment with, for example, having a player interview after a touchdown. That's fine. On the sideline. Not in the field of play. On the sideline. That's fine. Or an interview with a player in the dugout. That's fine. During the game. Not on the field of play. Not in the middle of an inning. Not in the middle of a game. Where your focus is supposed to be on the play. And maybe to anticipate what happens next. I think ESPN's got some explaining to do about, in public, about what happened here. I hope, by the way, that I wish that Michael Wilbon and Tony Kornheiser could be on with Pardon the Interruption, or Tony Rouse could be on with Around the Horn, because I think this is worth discussing. Sorry, unfortunately, ESPN is not having those programs on today. In fact, they're preempted for the next couple weeks because of the coverage of the Little League Baseball and the Senior League Baseball-Softball game. Because, boy, oh, boy, I think this is a marvelous topic. I really, really hope that this is it. It's a one and done, and it's no longer done. And I'd like to hear what you think. So if you want, next few minutes, give us a call, 646-652-2906. Use the chat room, SimonApple04, my name, Rick Webb, still in the room, our good friend Philip. If you'd like to chime in on this, love to hear your thoughts. And let me hear you. And if you can't do it right now, email me. I'd like to get your thoughts. SimonApple04@yahoo.com. It's SimonApple04@yahoo.com. Remember, enclose your name and where you're from. And by the way, I'd like to hear from ESPN. I am just absolutely stunned by this call of what took place on Sunday Night Baseball last night. And I'm fascinated by, again, what led to this. And I have a hunch this is more than just Juan Soto, you know, coming into the Padres. And I'd like to know what was in Juan Soto's head to accept ESPN's invitation to be mic'd and to be interviewed by the announcing team, play-by-play and commentator for the network, again, while he's in the outfield, on the field of play. Just amazing. Just absolutely amazing. So, again, love to hear what you think. So you can either chime in now, 646-652-2906, or use the chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Well, it looks, unfortunately, like Mike Prickett, our first guest, is not going to be with us today. I deeply apologize. We'll find out where the breakdown was, and we will invite him to come on our program as early as this Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific. In the meantime, I do want to let you know that the 2022 Primetime Emmy Awards will be taking place on September 12th. That's Monday night, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific on NBC. It's 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific. It's live to all time zones. It will also be simulcast on Peacock for the very first time, available on smart TV sets and smart TV devices. Check the localness of the NBC station in your area. For more details about not only the Emmy Awards, but all the Primetime Emmy nominees in all the categories, go to Emmys.com. It's Emmys.com. If you missed our episode on Friday with Chris McDonald, the actor who's up for Best Guest Actor in a Comedy Series for his work as a casino owner on the popular HBO Max comedy Hacks, which, by the way, he will be back on for its third season when that comes on HBO Max, probably in 2023. You can check that out at our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. It's blogtalkradio.com/televised. And remember, you can also check out our episodes on podcast as well. We're available in all sorts of places now, everywhere from Spotify to Google Podcasts, that's podcast.google.com, iHeartRadio's Podcast Network, Apple Podcasts, iTunes, also at TuneIn.com, Speaker Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music, including Vizio Smart TV sets, as well as our website, tomorrowbetelevised.onpodium.com. That's tomorrowbetelevised.onpodium.com. Again, I apologize for Mike not being on our first half hour. We will find out where the breakdown was with his publicist, and then hopefully have Mike on as early as our next episode, which is this Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific. Incidentally, next week, we've got a three-episode week for you. We'll be on next Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Next Monday, we'll be on a special time because of an event I'll be covering earlier in the afternoon. We'll be on an hour later than usual, 4 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. Pacific. And joining us among our guests on a week from today will be the head of First Nation Experience. It's the Native American network that is available through public television stations on multicast, other places as well. Frank Blanket, we had him on a number of years ago. Believe it or not, it's been 8 years since that service has been on. And originally, when we had him on, it was only in a few states. Now it's on more than 20 states around the country, either through smart TV sets and devices or through the multicast digital signals of public television channels. And I'm also happy to say that coming up on our special Wednesday edition, that's next Wednesday, among our guests, we'll have the co-creators of the new all-black ALBLK series, Send Help, Gene Ellie and Mike Goyo. That's Gene Ellie and Mike Goyo, the co-creators of the new all-black series, Send Help. They'll be on next Wednesday, August 17th, 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific, right here on Tomorrow Be Televised. And I might add also that earlier, a few weeks ago, we had Nina Erb, who is up for a Primetime Emmy Award for film editing for her work on the HBO critically acclaimed series, five seasons and done this year, Insecure, starring Issa Rae. So if you want to catch up on that episode, you can go again to blogtalkradio.com/televised, our website, and our podcast site. By the way, we are attempting to get more Primetime Emmy nominees on our program later this month, and we'll keep you posted about when we do get them. This is Tomorrow Be Televised. We are the program all about the tube, current and future. We're now in our 16th year on the air. This is week two of year 16. We're usually on Mondays and Fridays. In case you missed our episodes last week, we are now doing two three-episode weeks each month, and our next one will be next week. That's Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, all mostly at this very same hour. Sometimes we'll be on an hour later or an hour early, depending on how our guests come out. So I hope you tune in. Make us a regular habit. Remember, again, you can catch up on recent episodes by going to our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. That's blogtalkradio.com/televised. And again, we always love hearing from you, so we invite you to email us. I'd love to get your thoughts about where you see TV at and where it's going. And what's your thoughts about what ESPN did with Sunday Night Baseball? Do you think what they did was innovative? Or, like me, you find it very disturbing, very reprehensible, and frankly has the potential to negatively impact a sport, whether baseball, basketball, football, any sport you like, soccer, lacrosse, et cetera. So email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. Remember, that's how you get involved with our classic trivia question every week. One more time, let's give you the current trivia question. Free prize in play. Chevy Chase was the first Weekend Update anchor on Saturday Night Live. Who was second? Chevy Chase was the first Weekend Update anchor on Saturday Night Live back in the mid-1970s. Who was second? And I'll give you one hint. It was a woman. It was a woman. And it was one of the primetime players. Not ready for primetime players. Email me if you know the answer. SimonApple04@yahoo.com. It's SimonApple04@yahoo.com. And incidentally, we also use that email for ideas of one of our other regular features on this program, a show to know. If there's a show you like that doesn't get a lot of attention, really deserves it, we want to know about it. And if we use your suggestion on the air, you get the credit. That's what it's all about. So email me, SimonApple04@yahoo.com. It's SimonApple04@yahoo.com. And remember to enclose your name and where you're emailing from. Let's let you know. Oh, by the way, let's let you know. I'll tell you what, we're going to start our second segment in a couple of moments. So stay tuned for that. And when we come back, I'll tell you what, let's do our web identification break now, and then we'll bring on our next guest. And our next guests are involved in a big primetime revival. One of the best game shows of all time is coming back. It's Password. And many of you have seen, of course, the segments with Jimmy Fallon on The Tonight Show over the recent years. Yes, he's involved with this. Kiki Palmer is the host. We will have the executive producer, John Quinn. And from Fremantle, the production company behind Password, we've got Senior Vice President Joni Day. They'll both join us live from Los Angeles after we pause near the bottom of the hour for web identification. This is Best Internet Radio on the planet, www.blogtalkradio.com, speaker.com, and tune.com. Together, reaching over 70 million listeners around the world every month and growing. If you love the growing form of independent music, check out Independent Music Showcase. That's Wednesday night, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, at Independent Music Showcase. And tomorrow, Jay King and crew will be up and at it with Kings in the Morning. It's a great show with all sorts of music, entertainment, special guests, and mucho más. Kings in the Morning, Jay King and his crew. Join them tomorrow, 11 a.m. Eastern, 8 a.m. Pacific, right here on Blog Talk Radio. And don't forget, Best BTR 24/7 at YouTube.com. Welcome back to the second half of Tomorrow Be Televised. We're starting it earlier than we usually do. Simon Abbott with you live from New York. 91 degrees near the bottom of the hour. Again, if you're in an area of extreme heat, like here in New York, if you're going out, take it easy. Give yourself extra time. Make sure that you keep as much in cool space as possible. Also, don't overuse the air conditioner if you can. Save energy. And remember also, drink lots of fluids, water, et cetera, et cetera. And check in on the loved ones. They'll really appreciate it. Okay? Okay. And if you have questions or comments for our guests ahead, make that call, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Rick Webb, our very good friend from Philadelphia, already in the room. If you ask people, what is the greatest game show of all time, I promise you, you will get a lot of answers. You'll get The Price is Right. You'll get Jeopardy, Wheel of Fortune, Family Feud, Let's Make a Deal, Concentration, all sorts of answers. And for me, I'm pretty clear what I think is the best game show of all time in a lot of ways, and probably the most iconic. It's Password. When it first came on the air on CBS Daytime in 1961, hosted by Alan Ludden, Password was unlike any show on the air. Not only was it one of the most simplest games to play, but it also broke a lot of rules about what you do with a game show. First, major celebrities like Jimmy Stewart and Jack Benny and Lucille Ball and others at the time, big Broadway stars, for the first time would be teamed up with contestants from all walks of life to play the game. Secondly, it was a game based on word communication, where basically you had to tell your partner a clue, a one-word clue, to what was called a password. Third, it was a game show that had a lightning round, the first major bonus round in all of television. Password was also one of the first game shows to start with a daytime run and go into a nighttime run very quickly. The initial run on CBS ran from 1961 to around 1967. It was so popular that when it ended its run on CBS, it ended, had a syndication run of the color episodes of the last season that ran for about a year on local TV stations across the country. Then in the early 1970s, Password, originally was out of New York, came to Hollywood, had a four-season run on ABC, then late 70s, with Alan Ludden still aboard, it was Password Plus with the puzzle added attraction. And then after Alan passed away in the early 1980s, it was Super Password with Bert Convy, and that had a six-year run on NBC. In 2007, Password came back to primetime television on CBS for about a year with Million Dollar Password, again produced here in New York and hosted by Regis Philbin. And now for the first time in a long while, and certainly since 2007, primetime Password is coming back, but this time in the game that originally started it all. And it begins tomorrow night on NBC, 10 p.m. Eastern and Pacific Time, with Jimmy Fallon involved as a regular celebrity and Kiki Palmer as the host. We have the two key people making this revival of Password happen, joining us live from Los Angeles. First up, we've had him on the program before. He is the executive producer of other game shows like Let's Make a Deal, which will start its 14th season on CBS this fall in daytime. And currently, its fourth season of Pressure Luck, John Quinn. John, welcome back.
Hi, Simon. How are you? Thanks for having me.
It is a pleasure. And also joining us live is, for the first time, we have an executive from Fremantle, the production company behind Password and Pressure Luck, and Let's Make a Deal and The Price is Right, we have Senior Vice President Joni Day. Joni, it's a pleasure to have you with us.
I'm delighted to be here. Thanks, Simon.
You're very welcome. Joni, we'll start with you. How long has Fremantle looked at bringing not just Password back to prime time, but the way that we really came to know it back in the 1960s?
Well, we're very precious with all of our formats, especially Password, as you mentioned. It's a very special one. But in terms of bringing Password back in 2022, we'd really been waiting for the right time to approach Jimmy Fallon for the opportunity because he'd been playing it on Tonight Show for some time, and he was like doing great with it. And so we really just kind of enjoyed watching that play out with different guests. It all started when he had Betty White on, and it just kind of took off from there. And so we really were just waiting for the right time to actually say, hey, Jimmy, like, let's do this for real. And so I think during the pandemic, he was really busy during the Tonight Show. But once he got back into the studio, the timing was right for us to have the conversation with him, and he was excited that we asked. So it all just kind of came together really quickly, actually.
John, with this version of Password, there's sort of a balancing act. Part of it is when people have seen the Tonight Show segments with Fallon, where he plays with all celebrities, there's always been like, hey, so let's go for the laughs in terms of how the celebrities come up with the words and then only the passwords. Now you're dealing with the fact that these celebrities have to play with contestants. And thanks to YouTube and Buzzer, Fremantle's ad-supported network, people have seen the original version of Password, both the daytime and the prime episode, and they know how it went with Alan Ludden and all the celebrities and so forth. So there's this fine line of how much do we get the original Password back, how much we get what Fallon did back.
Yeah, I think there's a happy medium there. I mean, especially having Jimmy on board, I think right out of the gate there was this whole idea of a lot of fun, irreverent, celebrities cheating, just for fun. They're just playing for fun. But then, you're doing a game show with real money and real contestants. So for us, we wanted to keep that fun that Jimmy had been doing on The Tonight Show, but also, have the game elements that Password is famous for. So really trying to combine the two of those. And Jimmy was great because Jimmy, as much as he likes to have fun on The Tonight Show, he's a real gamer and he's very competitive. And he, more than anyone, he's always demanding, I need to know the exact rules. How does this work? What is this? How is it exactly played correctly? So having his energy and his competitive nature part of it from the beginning really helped, I think, both of them. Because he sets the tone from the second you get to the studio of this fun, this is how it's going to be. We're going to get on our feet. We're going to celebrate. We're going to have a party. But we're also going to play the game that everybody knows, starting back in 1961.
And John, when Bob Stewart created Password in 1961, I had the pleasure, by the way, of interviewing Bob back in 1980 when I was starting to cover television for a living, that one of the innovations, as I mentioned in the opener, was that Bob was very adamant about, I'm picking celebrities who, they're not out to plug something. They are out to work with the contestants and have them win. I don't just want any celebrity. I want really good celebrities who know how to play this game and really are, dead there for the contestants, not for themselves. What was it like to sort of work with the celebrities that you have and really encourage them, again, you're playing for the contestants. You're not playing for yourself. So you have to put some gravitas into what you're doing.
Yeah, I think it came really natural to most all the people we had in the show. Like, their main thing is that, they come there and they're like, I don't want to mess up for the contestant. I want to do whatever I can to help them win money, obviously. So people, I think, that agree to come on any game show, especially a show as iconic as Password, for the most part, are coming in knowing what's going on. Our celebrity producers talk to them in advance. So by the time they got there, they knew exactly what was going on, and then we would practice with them as much as we wanted. But I think, for the most part, people that are coming on the show, they are competitive as well and ready to go. Our list, John Hamm comes on the show very, very on top of the rules, knew exactly how to do it. And all of a sudden he starts playing it like he knows exactly how to play this game. He's obviously played before because Password's one of those games, if you haven't never played before, you're going to be able to tell. But if you play for even just 30 minutes to an hour, you become a much better player. And so I feel like all of our celebrities that went on that stage took it very seriously and were quite good at the game. for the most part.
Joni, how does this version of Password work? I understand that this is – we're not going to have the password puzzle that's been used for Password Plus and then later on modified for Super Password. But this is the game that you'd love to play. How does it work? Are there any modifications to the format, for example? How many points you have to score to win the game? What about the lightning round? And so on and so forth.
Yeah, well, I actually want John to elaborate on that because he was the one in the weeds really workshopping the format. And I mean, when you watch it, it's going to look extremely familiar, but there are a couple really cool twists that we added to it to make it work for two back-to-back half-hour games with celebrities and civilians. So it's going to have that 60s, 70s nostalgic feel to it, and it's going to be very intimate. But John, why don't you go ahead and explain what's the same and what's different?
Sure. I mean, it's similar to the traditional game where you have your two celebrities playing with your civilian contestants, and they're playing a game to 15. And just like the old school, it was different. They used to start at 10, and then they would go down in points every time a password was traded back and forth. We start at 6, so if you get it on the first win, you get 6. You go back and forth to 5, 4, 3. Both sides play, and it's the first to 15 wins, but we're playing best out of 3. So then after the first game, the celebrities switch, just like traditional password, and they play again. If the same contestant wins again, it's over because it's the best out of 3. It's over, and they go to the bonus game. But if they split, then we go to our third game, and our third game is a lot like Password Plus in some ways. We tried to use – during the run-through process, you know, when we got the show on its feet and brought in lots of different contestants and played around with it, we tried it every which way but loose. And we decided to use the you know, kind of a tip of the hat to Password Plus or Super Password, where if it's a tie between the two players, they're now going to play a third game to break that tie where we're going to drip clues one at a time, much like Password Plus did, but we as the producers are going to give you the clues leading to one answer, and whoever buzzes in first, you know, gets the answer, and if they're right, they go on to the bonus game. So it also created this very tense moment, this tiebreaker moment, and also a tip of the hat to the old Password Plus. And then the bonus game, once you get to the bonus game, it's a lot like the bonus game from Super Password or Password Plus. It's alphabetic. You got to get 10 letters. You got to get 10 words. You know the first letter that the password starts with. But you're going to play with both celebrities. So the contestant plays with one celebrity for 30 seconds and then plays with Jimmy for 30 seconds because Jimmy's on every show. So similar but not exactly the same as the old school show. And then there's also a portion where we created a redemption round. So if somebody fails and they don't get all the answers right in the bonus game, we do one redemption word where they can double their money. So a lot of the same elements that we just kind of twisted up and played around with.
Joni, was the program produced in New York? And also I'm curious about some of the trappings of the show, of the original show. For example, as everybody remembers, and to Jimmy Fallon's credit, they did that in their segments. They had the announcer saying the password is such and such.
Mm-hmm.
They usually have the ding, and then 10 points go for it. And is Robert Covert's music going to be used as the theme?
We redid the theme. You'll love it. It feels perfect. But yes, we most definitely still have an announcer whisper the password is in the edit. So that we would never ever get rid of that. That's very important element of the show. We did film here in Los Angeles on the NBC lot, on the Universal lot. Had Jimmy come out over to his spring break, and we had a blast.
Mm-hmm. If this goes to a second season, Joni, any thoughts when we bring the show back to New York and at least do some episodes there?
You know what? I could see that happening. I really could. I think it would be great to take it to New York and take advantage of all of the celebrity talent that's in New York. And obviously Jimmy is there, so and it's a small set, so we do have the flexibility of it can fit in a lot of different stages because it's such an intimate set. So I could see it happening. Nothing has been decided, but that's kind of the great thing about this show is that it's got kind of a light footprint. So it's flexible and could easily shoot in New York or L.A.
Mm-hmm. We're talking about Password, one of the great game shows of all time. In my opinion, I think it's the best game show ever done for a lot of different reasons. And it is coming back in prime time starting tomorrow night and Wednesday night on NBC, 10 p.m. Eastern Pacific Time, hosted by Kiki Palmer, Jimmy Fallon, one of the regular celebrities. We're talking with the two people making it possible, executive producer John Quinn, and from Fremantle, the production company behind the series, Senior Vice President Joni Day. They're both with us live from Los Angeles this half hour on Tomorrow Be Televised. Great to have you with us, too. Simon Happ, I'm with you live from New York. 91 degrees at the bottom now. We have a question or comment for our guests. Make that call, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Again, we have another triple header week coming your way next week, next Monday, Wednesday, Friday. Monday we'll be with you an hour later than normal. So make sure you hear the time, 4 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. Pacific. One of our guests will be the head of First Nation Experience, the Native American content and creator-focused channel. It's available as a multicast channel on many public television stations around the country. Some markets also available on smart TV sets and smart devices. The president and head is Frank Blanket. He'll be with us as one of our guests. And next Wednesday on the program, at our regular time period, 3 p.m. Eastern Pacific, among our guests will be the co-creators of the new all-black scripted series, Send Help, Gene Ellie and Mike Goyo. It's all coming up Wednesday, 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific, right here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Joni and John, what is a question for you. When Million Dollar Password came out back in 2007 on CBS, there was a lot of criticism of the show. A lot of people felt it was overproduced. It was too much. It was all lightning round, not anything else. They felt the celebrities were not really in sync a lot with the contestants. We just tried his best. We just thought it was the host. And a lot of people thought the show was overproduced. You know, too many flashing lights and craziness and millionaire type of thing. In doing this version, was that a thought with either of you that, you know, let's not overproduce this. Let's not go crazy in terms of effects and so on and so forth.
100%. Yeah. I mean, I think no one either could argue with anything that you just stated. I think that the version of Password that was made in 2008, you have to remember, like, that's when everything was like millionaire style, high stakes, dramatic lighting. And I think any game that kind of came to air during that era was put through that filter. And obviously in this case, you don't need to put a show like Password through that filter because it's an intimate game that has to, you don't want to put a clock to a comedic volley. So I think that we all learned, you know, from that. And I'll be honest with you, there wasn't anyone in the process that even suggested, you know, applying any of those elements. I think we all knew, and I think everything that we've been doing in rebooting our legacy formats has been homages to the original formats. And so we were all on board with really taking a cue from the 60s and 70s versions, and quite honestly, the way that Jimmy had been playing it on The Tonight Show and having it be more of a party and more relaxed. And that's also why we changed the prize money. It was not $1 million. He went up to $25,000. So it's great money, but it's not life-changing. And so I think that kind of helped lower the stakes and remind everyone that we're here to have a good time. But I'd love for John to add any thoughts on that.
Yeah, I think that was really well said, Joni. It was Password is, you know, at the end of the day, it's a comedy game show, I think, especially when you bring Jimmy Fallon in to be a part of it and the comic abilities of Kiki. So for us, it was just about keeping it very simple, clean, and keeping it really fun. And, you know, by going back to the show the way it was, we really could concentrate on that and didn't have to get wrapped up too much in big money stakes or anything like that. This is an easy watch that's fun to watch and fun to play along with, and I think that's what we wanted to do more than anything. Give you a laugh. Have fun.
John, you've had a wonderful career in recent years of having people like Wayne Brady and now Elizabeth Banks with Press Your Luck really have a second dimension to them, a new dimension of themselves as game show hosts. You have another person now in that seat in Kiki Palmer. What was it like working with her to develop her smarts in hosting a game show?
Yeah, it's hard to even talk about her because she came in And like we met her, we did the deal with her, and we were shooting a week later. I met with her on a Zoom, and then she came in the next day, in between shooting Nope, where she was going to do a 6-hour rehearsal with her, and we're all just kind of, you know, fingers crossed that she's going to be good at this, because it's, you know, hosting a game show can be difficult, you know, you can either do it or you can't. And she came in to our rehearsal studio, our rehearsal hall, and first of all, we had it for 6 hours. For the first hour, all of us just sat around and talked and laughed and got to know her. And she's instantly personable. Like, we all just gravitated towards her. And then she got up there, and the amount of homework it was obvious she had done. She'd obviously watched the run-throughs we'd sent her. She'd watched the old show. She knew the rules. She'd looked at the script. She's got up there, and the second she started, I remember just looking at Joni going, oh, my gosh, this just doesn't happen. She was aces from the second she started. She just needed little things to help this way and that way, and we just set her up in a real comfortable spot and basically said, you go be you. We want you to be you. You put her up there, and then add Jimmy Fallon and another celebrity, and it's just a lot of talent, I think, guaranteeing that you're going to bring the funny every day for all of these episodes. And she's also super competitive. As the season goes on, you know, she may play a little bit. She plays a little bit too, but she was dynamite from the beginning. And just, I mean, she's been in the business, you know, for most of her life. So she's a pro, total pro.
Of all the celebrities that you had on to play Password, anyone in particular that came out of left field and really surprised you? Like, this person can really play this game.
I have one. Someone who surprised the heck out of me.
Go ahead, John.
Megan Trainor came out, and she wins the award for the most improved, you know, because they play over a full hour. They play two games. She wins the award for most improved player. And by the end of it, is just giving it back to Jimmy. She's dominating. She's so much fun. She to me, like, shocked me on how wonderful she was at the game and how funny she was, really.
Yeah, I'm going to have to echo that. Megan Trainor's episode Martin Short is probably my favorite because it's Martin Short, and it went completely off the rails, and it was hilarious, as everything is that he does. But Megan Trainor was, like, you got to, when you guys watched her episode on the August 17th at 9 p.m. on NBC, you will see that, actually, no, that's Martin's episode, that's Martin. Megan's on the 16th of August. You'll watch Megan Trainor essentially learn how to play Password in front of your eyes. She really does get the most improved episode, and she's just so charming throughout the process. She was one of my favorite episodes. But I also am in awe of how well Joel McHale played the game, too. He was a pro. And watching him kind of go toe-to-toe with Yvette Nicole Brown was really fun, too. So you'll get to watch them play in our All Celebrity episode, which is our finale.
One question that I didn't ask Bob Stewart when I had the opportunity was, on Password, how do you select the words? How do you select the passwords, and when do they pop up? Either of you have any thoughts about the process by which the passwords are selected?
It's a process because we spent the entire pre-production kind of going through exactly that. We did a bunch of things. We did so many run-throughs that it gave us the chance to test different words, you know. So we would always rank our words okay on a difficulty scale and then also on a comedy scale. Do we think this will bring humor more times than not? And then we workshopped the words. You know, we would get a bunch of words that we weren't sure about and test them and see how they played with a big group. Really trying to, you know, make it a mathematical problem as much as we can to make sure we're putting our best foot forward and putting words up there, passwords up there that we've tested that was like, man, this one delivered on comedy, you know, 8 times out of 10. And this one is this word ended up being way easier than we thought it was going to be before we workshopped it, or more harder than we thought. So we really try to do our homework as much as we can and test them. So by the time those words go up there, we have an idea of how we think it's going to play. Now, sometimes that goes out the window completely and it doesn't play anyway. Maybe it plays way better than we thought it would, or it doesn't play as well. But I think it really kind of gives us a better shot of knowing, you know, how these passwords are going to perform when you put them up there.
What's really amazing, Joni, is that, and I've seen all the different versions of Password, is how very few words have been repeated. It really is amazing that the producers have managed to, like, really showcase a wide range of vocabulary and not have to repeat words. And I've seen, like, dozens of episodes. I don't think I've ever seen one where a word was repeated.
Yeah, it is. It is amazing. And I think that it's also what's interesting. I think John did such a great job at balancing out, like, classic words with some modern words. And that's the thing that makes the show, I think, going to feel so nostalgic and modern at the same time, is it's about that balance of, oh, okay, this is a word that they could have played, like, back in the 60s or 70s, and then the next round, you know, you'll hear some fun words that, you know, we hadn't ever heard of until last year. So I agree with you. But John, there's no one more thorough than John in how he prepared and workshopped all the shows. And hopefully when people watch it, it'll all seem effortless, if that's what it's supposed to feel like. But a lot of thought does go into the process.
Here is John Quinn and Joni Day. Executive producer John Quinn from Password and Fremantle Senior Vice President Joni Day. They're our guests this half hour on Suave Televised, both from Los Angeles. A question or comment I may mention with them, give us a call, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, Simon Apple 04 by name, and we have a call. We're going to take it. Hello, you're on Suave Televised. What's your name, and where are you calling from?
Hi, Simon. It's Rick Webb from Philadelphia.
Rick, you're on. Go right ahead.
Not sure who this is a better question for. It might be better for Joni, but I'm not positive. Like, how do you guys decide what type of shows are better when it's teamed up with celebrities, which shows are better with amateurs, and which shows are better teamed up with, like, comedians, especially since you say, like, about workshopping this show and it's kind of a comedy game show?
Well, I think it depends, obviously, on what the format of the show is and how it was, you know, originally intended. I think, you know, we all want to see celebrities that we know and love, you know, playing games and kind of put to the test and under pressure. So there's always going to be an instinct to try to create a show where we can book celebrities. But we also have to be honest with ourselves about how bookable is it going. Like, what are we asking the celebrities to do? How much of a commitment is it? And when you have a show like Password, where you just get to show up and have fun, we have a lot more confidence in putting a show like that on the air and selling a show and booking a show, because we know the combination of someone like Jimmy Fallon and Kiki Palmer as our talent, that they're going to be interested, and that, oh, it's only a couple hours and I get to have fun, you know, with my friends and help some contestants win some money. It's a much easier pitch than something that might be more involved, where they have to prepare and rehearse. So that's always a big factor. I think in terms of your question about comedian versus celebrity, here in Password, it was an important factor. Like, you can't, not anyone can play Password. There is a lot of skill and nuance to it. So when we made our list of people to go out to be on Password, it's a different list, honestly, than maybe, like, you know, a Match Game or a To Tell the Truth, because you want to make sure that the talent is just going to be able to really understand the nuance of the game and play it well, because there's nothing worse, trust us, than watching someone play Password doesn't know how to play. But John, please feel free to jump in.
Well, I think that's true. Anytime you're doing a game show that you think has, you know, comedic elements to it, I always say, well, you know, bring in some celebrities. You're going to help guarantee the comedy. You know, the contestants are there to play and win money and are funny. But a celebrity, I think, always helps bring comedy. You know, I've also worked on Celebrity Name Game, which is a similar show. You know, Password is the original word game. Celebrity Name Game is a game where you can give as many words as you want, 25 words or less, another show I've done, which is the same, where you can only give a certain amount of words. Password's the original, and the thing that all three of those shows that have in common is they're word games, which I think lend themselves to comedy, and all three of them have celebrities in them to help guarantee that. So I think when you have something that you think is going to be funny, the idea of having celebrities in it, I think, helps guarantee that a lot of times.
Cool. Well, thanks a lot. Thanks for the info and continued success for both of you. I'll definitely be checking the show out.
Awesome.
I love
thanks.
That. Thanks for the call.
Okay. Absolutely. And thank you, Simon.
You're very welcome, Rick. Thank you for the super question. Rick Webb, our friend from Philadelphia, joining us live here on Demarvey Televised. Joni, we have a few minutes left, and I wanted to make sure we got this. By the way, I also want to mention that a number of the contestants that will be on Password are contestants that were on other iterations of the game, Password Plus and Super Password. It's very interesting to see how they decide to work with this version of the game. It's going to be a lot of fun. Joni, you're getting ready now to shoot the latest, the new seasons of Price is Right, Let's Make a Deal, Family Feud, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. What's coming up, and are we going to see game shows come back to pre-pandemic environments where you have a full studio audience, you don't have to use an applause track, you don't have to bar an audience from being on the show, et cetera, et cetera?
No one wants that more than us, trust me. The audience is such an important part of a game show. It's the host needs that energy. It adds a level of excitement in the room. We need the applause. We need the laugh. We need the, you know, oh, my God, what's about to happen energy from the audience. So we are always at the forefront of, like, pushing those limits of, like, when we can safely get back into a studio with a full studio audience. And it's a big part of the creative of the show. I mean, the audience is a character in most of our shows. So I would like to think of a really great job on both Price is Right and Let's Make a Deal at integrating the protocols, but still maintaining like the fun and excitement of the audience. But to answer your question, as soon as possible, as soon as we're allowed to, fully gear back up on all of those shows, meet and safe to do so, we most certainly will. But John can really speak to that as a showrunner of Let's Make a Deal.
I mean, yeah, and Let's Make a Deal, we had an audience of 175 people, and then we dropped down to an audience of 12 over the last two seasons. This year, we're going to have an increased audience. We're not going to get up to 170, but we are going to have a much more robust audience, you know, around 40 people in the audience. And I think in a lot of ways that works for us for that format. We want the big energy from the crowd, but sometimes it's like, well, is 175 too many for a show like Let's Make a Deal? Is this smaller audience still doing the job? Is it more intimate in a lot of ways and kind of feels more personable? So I think right now for Let's Make a Deal in particular, it was interesting to go from a show that had 175 down to 12. Now we're coming back, but are we sure we want to go to 175? And so this year we're going to test some bigger numbers of people, you know, in the 40, 50 range and see how that feels. So it's been interesting on Let's Make a Deal in particular. A show like Pressure Log, give me as many people as we can get in the studio because it just feels like a sporting event. But with Wayne Brady and what he brings to the table, sometimes having not as many people, you know, might work better for that show.
And John, I want to make sure that before you get credit on two things. First of all, what you did with Zoom to have the contestants from home play and make deals with Wayne along with the studio audience these last two seasons is fantastic. And for those who have not seen the new season of Pressure Luck, you have a new wrinkle in the bonus round called Prize-a-Palooza, where if the contestant lands on that in the final round, the big bucks bonanza round, they win every prize. Is it every prize on the board or every prize that's been offered in the round?
It's every prize that is visible on the board when you hit that button and it stops. So it could be four or five. It could be four or five. It could be one.
I think it's a fantastic addition to the game.
And the audience loves it. I mean, because they know it's a game changer. And so you get to that big bucks bonanza and there's one space up there, and if you hit it, there's a chance, you know, that space alone could put you over 400 grand. It could, you know, depending on what's up there. So it's this carrot that's being dangled, and the contestants love it. The audiences love it. You know, Elizabeth loves it. Everyone's chanting prize at Palooza. And, you know, it was anytime you make it to that final round, you have a chance to get it. So it's a game changer. I just think it even elevated the energy and the intensity and Pressure Luck even more in that final round.
Password, one of the great game shows of all time. Again, it's my pick for the greatest game of all time. Originally created by Bob Stewart, originally Mark Goodson, Bill Tomlin production, which, of course, Fremantle then acquired. Well, it's coming back the way hopefully a lot of you who grew up on it love, and those of you that have seen the other editions like Password Plus and Super Password also love as well. With Jimmy Fallon as a regular celebrity and hosted by Kiki Palmer, produced in L.A. and hopefully maybe down the road here in New York where it all started back in 1961. The first two episodes are tomorrow night and Wednesday night on your local NBC station, 10 p.m. Eastern Pacific Time. I believe it will be streamed live or next day on Peacock, available on smart TV sets and smart TV devices. More details about the series online, go to NBC.com and Freemail.com as well. And don't forget, more Freemail game shows. New seasons coming your way starting next month. The Family Feud, Price is Right, Let's Make a Deal. Let's Make a Deal with John Quinn as executive producer on. Goes into season 14, 10 a.m. Eastern time in most markets, followed by the new season of The Price is Right, hosted by Drew Carey. I believe it's season 51, now going into its second half century. Absolutely amazing. And Family Feud with Steve Harvey going into, I think it's what, 12th or 13th season. That's in syndication here in New York. It's on WWR-TV. Reruns on Game Show Network as well, mostly in prime time, other daytime as well. So check your local info where they're all available in your area. And, again, for more details, go to NBC.com for Password, CBS.com for Let's Make a Deal and the Price is Right, ABC.com for Press Your Luck on Thursday nights, and Freemail's website as well for all details. John Quinn, Joni Day, thank you both very, very much for spending the half hour with us and a little bit extra, too. Congratulations on everything you've done. John, look forward to seeing Password. I have a hunch Bob Stewart's going to be smiling up there.
Thank you, Simon. Oh, always great to chat with you. Hope we don't let you down.
Absolutely. Looking forward to it. And Mark Goodson, Bill Tom, and everybody involved who made that show happen. And Alan Lund and Betty White. We should put it out. Betty White's special tribute, by the way, will be one of the episodes, too. And, Joni, thank you. And I want to say also quickly, because we just started year 16, we've had a lot of your executive producers like Evan Wolfel, like John, like others on our show over the years. So thank you and Freemail for a great, great time with them. It's been a delight all the way.
Thank you, Simon. It was a pleasure.
You're welcome. John and Joni, take care. Enjoy the week and enjoy the premiere tomorrow night.
Thank you. Take care. Bye.
Bye-bye.
John Quinn and Joni Day joining us live from Los Angeles. And that will do it for this edition of Tomorrow Be Televised. Thank you for being with us. Again, I apologize. Mike Pritchard cannot be on. We will reschedule him, hopefully, if not next this Friday, sometime on our episodes next week or later on this month. Again, if you came in late on today's episode, want to catch up on episode you missed, go to our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. That's blogtalkradio.com/televised. Check out our podcast. They're available 24/7 over at the blogtalkradio.com/televised. In addition, they're also available on blogtalkradio.com, speaker.com, Speaker Podcast, TuneIn.com, also at the iRadio Podcast Network, Spotify, other podcast destinations as well. And we'd love to hear what you think. What's your thoughts about Password coming back on NBC, the way it's going? Plus, what's your thoughts about where TV is at and where it is going? Give us an email, simonapple04@yahoo.com. Don't forget to include your name where you're emailing from. Remember our classic trivia question one more time. Here it is. Chevy Chase was the original Weekend Update anchor on Saturday Night Live. Who was second? Chevy Chase was the first Weekend Update anchor on Saturday Night Live, SNL. Who was second? SimonApple04@yahoo.com. Make sure you enclose your name and where you're emailing from. You can win 3 prizes in a row if you're first with the correct answer. You can also find me on Facebook, LinkedIn, and Twitter. Facebook and LinkedIn is Simon Applebaum. Twitter at UBCSimonWT. However you respond, email or social media. They announce their little blog club radio and other services program. Andy Toe is B-Charge General Manager. Jay Sonnenberg is Head of Content. Website service by On Podium, the Internet's new podcast outpost. Guitarist Fakus is our web coordinator. For Tomorrow Be Televised, I'm Simon Applebaum in New York. Thank you for your listening. Have a wonderful rest of your Monday and week. We are back on Friday, regular time, you know where, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, on Blog Talk Radio, Speaker, TuneIn Radio, and all of our podcast destinations, and our webpage, tomorrowbetelevised.onpodium.com. Again, whatever you're doing now and then, please make it safe and great, especially on the safe side. If you're in an area where heat is very extreme, like here in New York City, take it easy if you're going out. Give yourself extra time. Get hydrated. Make sure you drink plenty of liquids. Check in on the loved ones, and we will get through this. The word is on Friday, we'll have the temperatures, at least here in New York, down to the lower 80s, maybe even lower than that. So we'll see you, hopefully, and hear you, 3 p.m. Eastern Pacific, Friday, here on Blog Talk Radio, Speaker, TuneIn Radio, and all of our podcast destinations. And remember, if you haven't been vaccinated, check in with your doctor, find out your medical situation, find out all the alternative treatments available to you, such as the Pfizer and Merck pills, and then make a great choice your choice. Until the next time, stay well and stay tuned. And in honor of Password, the password today is love. Let's take some time to love each other and respect each other, okay? As Alan would say, see you soon, I hope.